Coming up in the Panel Scanners podcast, their crew gives their best of lists, movies, and titles for 2012. Heck of an author, that Johnny Capps. Phil retroactively reviews Alex Ross's star-making graphic novel in DC's Kingdom Come. And the boys give their faves and not-so-faves in Stuck, Stick, Pick, and Sayonara. It's the Panel Scanners Episode 8, and it's happening now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panel Scanners, where your three favorite geeks discuss the best medium in America, comic books. I'm your host, Johnny Capps. With me, as always, is Darren.
There was something about that laugh. It had the type of pretension making the others wish they had a pistol so they could beat him with it.
I love it.
Not sure what that came from.
What is it from, Mr. Capps?
Walrus Inc.
Walrus Inc.
Walrus Inc.
I'm halfway through it, and I love it.
That's very good. You rock. Thank you, sir.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. That is from my publication, Walrus Inc., which is available right now on Amazon.
That's an early plug.
Early? It's been up there forever.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
so
early
cool.
in the show.
Heck, man. It's no, Johnny, I started reading it. You never really want to read your friend's stuff because you're like, oh, what if it's really horrible?
Because
then you have to be, well, it was very nice. No, I really like it.
Good. I need to read it. It's very cool.
It's on my list. Cool. All right. And also, I've got Phil.
With great power comes great responsibility. Too bad I have no power.
That's from my other book. No, it is not. That is an alteration of, well, you know what it is. All right.
And Thwip.
Yes.
Always Thwip.
Yes. Thwip.
Snick.
So.
Bamf. That's my favorite.
Bamf. It's good.
Hulk smash. Anyways. We're reining it in. We are talking about comic books because comic books are awesome. They are flooding the market right now, and the market right now is fantastic. Sales numbers are great. We've been discussing that for the past few months. They are maintaining good. They're
the market
well.
Could be described as bossa nova.
Ooh. But,
That's from the old original,
fancy.
The old original Ninja Turtles.
I like it.
Yes. Cowabunga. All right. So, we're moving into a segment called News.
Pizza
where
time.
We discuss
Sorry.
The industry and what's going on. So, this month, I've discovered that, the Vertigo president, Karen Berger, has been terminated. They're also terminating Hellblazer, the longest-running Vertigo title starring John Constantine at issue 300. This has been called into question because John Constantine is a major player in the DCU at this moment, in the mainstream DC Comics universe. A new Constantine title featuring a younger and more... I don't know, he's still Constantine, he's just younger. The title begins at number one, which happens in February, and is featured in... You can find John Constantine in Justice League Dark at this moment. But this new Constantine title, number one, will feature the younger John Constantine. The old John Constantine is married, is bitter, and smokes a lot. The younger John Constantine is unmarried, is bitter, and smokes a lot. So I'm looking forward to that title. So, Darren, what do you have for news?
Well, earlier this week, the Twitterverse sort of blew up with Gail Simon getting canned as the writer of Batgirl. Now, Batgirl ended up being one of the
Gail
more
Simone.
Highly...
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Gail, yeah.
Batgirl seemed to be one of the more highly regarded titles in the DC universe.
Thank you for reminding me of that, yes.
Yeah, I had not read Batgirl, but it was. I guess it was a surprise firing. People were really
it
upset
really
about
was.
It.
I personally was. I love Gail Simone.
Yeah, so that was the big one, and I had just right here who was taking over. It was someone I had known.
It's a male, and I don't really care who's taking over because it's Gail Simone, and after Gail Simone's gone, I lose interest.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people were pretty broken up about that. That Barbara Gordon had been back, especially after having been, for much of our formative years, she was confined to a wheelchair as Oracle.
Yeah.
And it was kind of neat to see Barbara Gordon back as Batgirl for the first time in, 25 years? 1987's
yes.
The Killing Joke, wasn't that correct?
It's around that time,
It's The
yes.
Killing Joke in which it happened.
I know it's been most of our readable careers.
Sure, sure. So that was kind of the big thing that happened this month. And although it's not necessarily industry news, on Kickstarter right now, you can go to Nightwing the Series. And there was a Nightwing fan film about maybe 6 months ago that was pretty darn good. It was about a four-minute fan film in which he ends up fighting the Red Hood. And now they want to turn it into a series. I'm supporting it on Kickstarter. I figured, nice. What the heck, I'll give it a shot. The guys did a good enough job. And I really like that there's so many crowdsourced comic book projects, and now there's being a lot of crowdfunded sources. I know The Goon was one of the biggest crowdfunded sources on Kickstarter. So, you know, it's really, Kickstarter is something, if you're a comic fan, you really need to be keeping your eyes out, and I'm doing that. As you know, I supported Fairy Quest. And
you said it was good, right?
Yeah, it was. I ended up liking it.
Well, I know that one of the Kickstarter campaigns that I picked up was Cyberforce, which they did as a Kickstarter so they could release the first issue free. And it was surprisingly very, very good.
I saw it was free, but I did not pick up a copy, so I didn't know how to feel about it.
Well, you're virtually out. They are virtually out of copies now.
John at JC Comic and Cards still a couple left. Yeah.
Okay.
I saw them last time.
All right.
But as for industry news on my part, there's not too much going on. There is something very cool happening though right now. If you can find a copy of Hawkeye number 6, all the proceeds for that comic are going to the Sandy Relief Fund. So if you purchase it, or no matter how you get it, digital or
paper,
it's
also a good copy.
I mean, it's a good comic, but we'll get to that later. It's a good way for you to, if you're not reading it, pick up a new comic that is good, and to, you know, donate to charity while still getting something for yourself out of it. So it's kind of cool. Other than that, I mean, it's normal. Marvel Now stuff's going on, and Amazing Spider-Man 700 comes out the day after Christmas.
We've heard about this.
Marvel is only releasing two comics that day, Avenging Spider-Man and
700. Yeah. I believe we have some Star Wars news, do we not, Darren?
Yes, thank you for reminding me of that, Jenny. Yeah. I was a little bit concerned. I mentioned in a couple of podcasts ago about my relationship with Star Wars, which was not dissimilar from the two of you, but I had been unable to even go back and look at the original movies.
Mm-hmm. You were much more religious about Star Wars than either of us.
Well, maybe so. I had jettisoned all things Star Wars, and for me, my number one was always Superman, but, you know, Star Wars was right up there with it for a long time.
Absolutely.
Most people over 30, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But continuing, I was really excited when we had this conversation a couple months ago on the podcast. I was really excited that there was a new comic series coming out from Dark Horse that was going to feature the original trilogy cast. And then between that conversation and the next podcast, the whole Disney buying Lucasfilm and Episode 7 coming out blew up everywhere. And the future of that particular title, which is due in January, was up in the air. But it is going to be released, so
fantastic.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I mean, Disney isn't known to end comics anyway. I mean, they're pretty supportive of the comic industry, so I'm not surprised.
But Dark Horse isn't owned by Disney, which was the problem.
That was the hang-up. But the thing is, as it turns out, Dark Horse can still do whatever they want with Star Wars because they hold the comic book publishing license to Star Wars. Disney really doesn't have a say until that license is up.
Very cool.
And you would assume at that point, Star Wars is going to head over to Marvel.
That would make sense.
So that is some awesome industry.
Which is unfortunate because Dark Horse has done a lot of great stuff.
Before Dark Horse, Marvel had the Star Wars universe.
I have Star Wars number one from Marvel. Yeah,
that is impressive.
Don't think just because it's going to go to Marvel, it's going to be bad.
No, I didn't
mean it could be good.
It could be. It's a shame. Dark Horse has done nothing to.
Dark Horse has been epic. Yeah.
Yeah, they've done some amazing things.
They've done some incredible stuff. Knights of the Old Republic is one of the. I love that series.
Knights of the Old Republic, Infinities, which was the Infinity series was kind of a what if. What if Luke Skywalker never made it to Dagobah?
They seriously did an Elseworlds.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. All right, so that takes us into the next section, which is retroactive review. For that, my brother Phil has been reviewing Kingdom Come,
which is kind of out of sorts for me. I decided to prove that I'm not just a Marvel snob, and I decided to tackle DC's classic Elseworlds tale of Kingdom Come. It takes place in kind of the future. It's very, very interesting. It's kind of looking into the future of superheroes. What happens when we get introduced to a new superhero in a universe that is full of old superheroes that you're comfortable with? So the main, I would say the basis of the whole thing was a new superhero called Magog came back, well, came into it, and actually killed somebody to get rid of him, because he was a villain. Killed the villain was gone. People were like, wow, that seems like a good way to deal with things. Superman, not a big fan of that, decides to remove himself from the hero world. So Superman leaves, people follow, time goes by. These superheroes that didn't care about killing end up killing and getting out of control and starting to fight each other, not really caring about the people around them, and the world starts falling apart.
Very disappointing.
And that's kind of where we pick up. An old man is, he's actually a pastor, priest, or however you want to put that, is visited by a specter. Is brought,
by specter, right?
By specter, yeah. Yes. And note that I don't really know DC characters very, very well.
Johnny, was that Hal Jordan still? Do we know?
Because
Hal Jordan was Spectre for
a long time. He was. Hal Jordan was Spectre for a long time, and then Jim Corrigan took over.
Once again, you don't, you wouldn't know anyhow because of the time frame change.
Oh, okay.
So, it's an Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have Spectre taking this old man around to show him all the things that are going on in the world. We see the interactions between Superman. You see Bruce Wayne still running Gotham with an iron fist. You see all kinds of very, very cool things. But the world is coming to an end, and the whole idea is we need to get these old heroes back to stop these new heroes from causing any real damage. Bruce Wayne actually teams up with Lex Luthor briefly during this thing to take out Superman, supposedly.
Really?
Of course, it's Bruce Wayne, and it was kind of all a ploy to take Lex Luthor out.
This
but
is, this is Alex Ross's thing, right?
This is Alex Ross.
Yeah. Did he both write and draw? You can't really.
No. Wade?
Mark Wade.
Mark Wade.
Mark Wade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was
gorgeous.
Big splash, wasn't it?
Yes. Gorgeous, gorgeous art.
Oh, I mean, it's unparalleled.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
And, I mean, it all ends good and well, and, you know, there's a nice little epilogue that was added to the trade paperback, which is what I read because I couldn't find my paper copies. I think my brother took them to Europe with him. I don't know.
I'll get those back.
I know. But well, they may have been his. It's hard to tell what comics are whose from our childhood. But the epilogue showed a little bit of the world afterward, and Wonder Woman and Superman together, and she's with child, and she makes Bruce Wayne the godfather, and it's really kind of like touching and nice, and you're thinking maybe this is like the new generation of superhero in her belly,
in her womb. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, Kingdom Come was written in 96, I want to say. And
right.
Today, still amazing.
It doesn't lose anything.
Oh, my God, no, it doesn't. I read all four issues, because it's only four issues. I read all four issues in one sitting.
Well, I believe
it was
that.
Just gorgeous and well-told and a piece of art. And it reminds me of why I used to read DC growing up from time to time, because of stories like that. And
you know what's so great about that is when it came out, comics and the properties were not where they are today, where
mm-hmm.
they're so, I mean, they are on the front lines. They're so, it's weird to say they're socially acceptable, but that's exactly what they are, where it was not that way. Like, it was still very much nerd culture and confined only to nerd culture back then when it came out. And I remember having a girlfriend where, you know, as a 20-something-year-old at the time, I was still out reading comics. And she's like, really? What's this all about? You know, why do you still get this? It's kid stuff. And I gave her a copy of Kingdom Come. Just read this and you tell me what you think. And she was like,
wow.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Kingdom Come,
that was incredible.
Kingdom Come was definitely not your child's book either.
No.
But they did something really cool with Kingdom Come. And this is just me doing research outside of just reading it. It was one of the comics during this time frame that they had the dust cover attached to it, because their intention was to start marketing it to, like, Toys R Us and other stores,
mm-hmm.
so that they could start marketing to other people more. It didn't exactly do well in that sense.
Well, that's not the thing you put. Kingdom Come is not what you put in.
It's not, but I think it was kind of one of those things to show people that there is good in comics. And honestly, if you have any way to get your hands on it, and you've not read it before, or you've read it in the past, and you have fond memories, or you don't remember exactly what happened, take the time and do it. It is well worth the hour and a half you take to thumb through it, look at the beautiful art, and read the story. It's
unparalleled.
It is hands down one of the best things I've read in a long time.
Well, it's going to be like Alex Ross. If you've seen the name Alex Ross, it's going to be good.
And I'm very happy that I chose to do
Mark
that.
Waid also is, yeah.
So, I mean, easily 10 out of 10. Go read it again. It's nice. Wonderful.
And that brings us to our section called Stuck, Stick, Pick, and Sayonara, where we talk about the books that we've been reading, what we're going to continue reading, what we're absolutely stuck on, and books that we're pretty much done with. And for this, I'm going to intro to my friend Phil, who's going to tell us all about his Marvels.
Oh, Lord.
Take it off.
Marvel, lots and lots.
All right, I got to do this in an interesting way. All right, so
that's my
things
fault.
That I am stuck on, I am stuck on all new X-Men, and stuck are things that we just cannot possibly give up. It's just good, we keep coming back to it. It's not necessarily the best thing that we're reading right now, but it's something that there's no way we're going to want to pass up. All new X-Men, I am stuck on.
You just stole my stuck.
Well,
I'm right there with him. It's all new X-Men.
Stuck on Amazing Spider-Man. Stuck on Cable and the X-Force. Stuck on Deadpool. Sorry, I'm flipping
through his
tons of comics. Stuck on Scarlet Spider, which is now out of the Minimum Carnage series. We're getting back to Kane in his roots.
Nice.
Dealing with some sex trafficking stuff that's going on that's bad. And we're seeing Kingpin, which is going to be good.
Oh, is this his first appearance in the Marvel Now?
This is his first appearance in Scarlet Spider.
Oh, okay.
I'm stuck on Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. Bendis is just flooring me on the two books that I'm reading of his right now, the all-new X-Men and on Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. Miles Morales is just, I can't even put it into words. Like, you need to read him as Spidey.
He's
which
been
is,
raving
which
about
is giving
Miles
me,
Morales for
it,
a
it's giving
months,
me
yeah.
It's giving me hope for Superior Spider-Man who's not going to be Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Stuck on Uncanny Avengers, even though Marvel is doing a terrible job of putting out issues. They're supposed to put out issue 3 this week, and it is not seen. Stuck on Wolverine and the X-Men. That is an ongoing thing.
Yes.
Jason Aaron's...
It's a brilliant series.
It's so good.
It really is nice.
You're seeing a lot of growth in characters. We're starting to see the kids getting a little more play as well. And I am stuck on one of my newer books, X-Men Legacy, which is Legion. David Haller, or Professor X's son. It's written in a really interesting way where it's bouncing back and forth between his mentality, what's going on in his head, because if you're not at all following Legion has split personalities, and each personality that he has in his head has a different superpower. So as he learns how to pin down those certain different personalities, he's going to learn how to use those abilities. So the comic splits between him running around in his brain, tackling these different abilities, and running around in the real world trying to collect mutants that he feels he can help. At the end of this last issue, he's having a run-in with Wolverine and the X-Men. Those are my stucks. Stick. Our comics we're just sticking to. They're not our best.
No reason to dump them, but they're not.
Yeah, there's nothing.
They're in the middle of the pack.
If you were kind of poor that week, you might not pick up a copy. It's enjoyable, but it's not going to be something that you're going to put at the top of your, this is my favorite of the year. To start that is A plus X. It's just team-ups between Avengers and X-Men. Interesting, but nothing out of this world. Avenging Spider-Man. Same kind of thing. It adds to Amazing Spider-Man. It's going to add to Superior Spider-Man, but it is not great. Gambit is kind of slipping as it's going on. We're just finishing up the first arc. I still like it. I still see a lot of potential. It's the first Gambit book that's actually been consistently good. It's just nothing to rave about. Secret Avengers. I'm just kind of petering off until the end of this arc. It's going to go to a number one in February, I think. And I'm going to drop it at that point. It's just, it's not drawing me in. Avengers books are just, there's too many people that they focus on in every issue. And I just have issues following that. And Venom, I'm sticking with just because it's losing some of its oomph. Flash Thompson's great as Venom, but it's the weakest of out of all the Spider-Man books right now. And I don't know if it's going to get any better. He's in Philadelphia now instead of in New York, and he's kind of dealing with his own personal problems.
All right.
Next is our pick of the month. And my pick of the month, as it has been for the last five, is Hawkeye.
I got
two issues this month. Two! It was amazing! Hawkeye is just, I don't know.
I gotta read this.
It's so good. There are now...
Is that David Aja?
Hold on. It's Fraction.
Oh, Matt Fraction.
And Aja, even better. Aja's in it as well. That's the art. We got our first two-parter. I guess I had three issues since our last podcast. First two-parter, the tape. Dealing with a tape that is put out there that shows Hawkeye killing someone. I don't want to ruin it, but there's a twist. Kate Bishop is trying to free him throughout it, the other Hawkeye. And that's the beauty of Hawkeye, is it's two Hawkeyes.
Kate Bishop is his daughter, isn't that? From Young Avengers?
She's not his daughter.
Not his daughter. Alright,
she
but
just
she
follows
is from
in
Young
his
Avengers.
Footsteps. She just follows in his footsteps.
Right, okay.
Very, very good. And the bonus issue that I was talking about in the industry news... that's benefiting the Sandy victims. It was awesome. It's Six Nights in the Life of Hawkeye. And if you read my review of it on my blog, or you can even see my blog on our website for the panel scanners, it's really interesting the way that it was written. It's kind of like if you remember something in your own life, you don't necessarily remember things in chronological order. Like, you remember stuff, and then there's something you remember in that memory that brings you further back or slightly into the future that makes you bounce around. That's the way it's told. And it's awesome. And that's why that's my pick. And the last thing is our Sayonara. These are the books that we are just done with. They are not on our pull list. They just aren't doing anything for us anymore. And I finally have Sayonaras.
This is your first time.
My first time that it's a true Sayonara. I'm dropping Avengers. They started a new run.
The Avengers?
There are different Avengers titles.
Okay.
I'm dropping the flagship Avengers. Right now there's another one going on, but I need to cut back on my stack. I really wasn't loving the Avengers. Like I said, they cover too many people. I know that kind of sounds kind of counterproductive because I read X-Men and X-Men covers a lot of people. But every X-Men book really focuses on like one or two people versus Avengers, which is Thor, Captain America, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers is Sayonara. It is dropped. And I have one more Sayonara, which is the new Avengers. Also finished its run with End Times. Also, not a big fan. I just couldn't focus on it. Once again, too many people. We had Doctor Strange, we had Luke Cage, we had... The list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two Sayonaras, and that is my stack, without getting too in-depth with anything.
That
this
is
time.
Impressive stuff.
That is very impressive.
And I'm reading a lot more digital, but these are just the comics that
I download legally, correct?
A lot of them, yes, actually.
Okay.
But this stack right here that I just went through are physical copies that I buy and are right in front of me.
You're still doing Spider-Man too, right?
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I'm on issue 222.
That's awesome.
It has been such an adventure.
I admire that.
It is
very
so,
much.
So good. I'm excited. I wanted to get a lot further before 700 came out, but it was a little too ambitious, I think.
Probably.
But so far, I've already seen the death of Gwen Stacy. I've seen the introduction to almost all the enemies that we're familiar with. I'm very close to the black suit appearing. I've seen J. Jonah Jameson lose his mind, gain his mind back, lose his mind, gain his mind back. There are parts where we thought he knew who Peter Parker, that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. There are moments that he was demasked. There are moments where we thought Aunt May was dead. It goes on and on. It is phenomenal. If you follow me on Twitter, I tend to do updates on when anything too big happens. I take pictures of the title that I'm on the night I'm
going to bed. It's so much fun. I love following
it. And it's nice. It's kind of that, this is what I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And if you have any questions about anything that happens, when stuff happens, I'm going to be quite the source for Amazing Spider-Man knowledge. This is just amazing. Not spectacular, not web of. Because if I did that,
the original run.
You I would never, ever nuts. Be able to read
the true through-line canon for Spider-Man.
Yes, this is where it started and basically where it's going to end.
That's fantastic, dude. And with that, we move to Darren.
I, as Phil pointed out earlier, have kind of a thin stack. My sticking with, I'm going to go with Star Trek The Next Generation and Doctor Who. It's, again, I pointed this out a couple of months in a row. There are times when the artwork, I mean, I've not seen artwork that so unbelievably closely resembles the characters
in
one panel.
That's really nice.
And then you go to another panel. Like, this is a very good example. That looks exactly like Mr. Data. That looks nothing like Mr. Data. All right?
Huh. I can still tell what they're trying to do.
The car looks really constipated.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
there are moments in
that's
this.
That's not inaccurate with the series.
I have enjoyed the series. I like it. One of my biggest problems was the very first time you see Worf, who is probably my favorite Star Trek character. Yeah, the very first time you see Worf is when the Doctor and the TARDIS end up on the holodeck, and you know he interrogates the Doctor, and he goes, well, I must speak to your captain. So Worf takes him to the captain. I'm like, the head of security, just this guy just showed up in a holodeck. I'll take him to the captain. That doesn't seem like... That
That's
seems like a breach
Worf
of protocol.
Do.
No.
That's not something Worf would
But
do.
Finally, in this, Worf gets saddled with protecting Amy and Rory, and at one point, you know, he goes to hand Rory a gun because they're about to get assaulted by... the Borg.
See, that looks just like my
and then board. Yeah, like and then the and Worf says the Doctor isn't here and stupidity is an empty hand. I have no problem continue to protect you, but I'd rather you protect yourself. He's basically saying no, I'm here, he's not, you will listen to me. I'm like, yes, that's Worf.
Yes,
Worf is like Worf is easily my favorite Star Trek The Next Generation character.
Do you feel like maybe they started doing more research on the Star Trek Next Generation as it went on?
This thing ended up. This is clearly a Doctor Who title, not
a Star
Trek title.
Yeah, that's what you're telling me.
And that's interesting. It's clearly a Doctor Who title, and Star Trek characters have really taken a backseat, which is okay. But now I feel like okay, now give me some more Next Gen. So I'm sticking with it because it's almost over. It'd be silly to jump it now. Rocketeer and the Cargo of Doom. Really kind of fun. A throwback to those old serials. It's interesting. I have two titles that I'm reading that take place in the 30s and 40s. He ends up on the Cargo of Doom. The actual said Cargo of Doom are dinosaurs. And it's just like, I have no idea where you're going with this, but I'm in. Okay, you've got me here. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. But I have to see what you're doing with this. Okay, so it was a nice little hook for the Rocketeer. It's fun. I've enjoyed reading some of these, the pulp heroes, as it were.
Yeah.
The Shadow. Its initial six-issue run was an overarching story about feudal Japan, in a way, and about them trying to get the bomb. It was okay. It was enough for me to keep going. They've moved on to something else now. They've changed artists, and artwork is outstanding. It's, who is it here?
That is nice.
Jack Herbert. The artwork here in The Shadow now is very, very good. And the story's gotten a lot better, too. He's still doing a lot of globetrotting, which is kind of fun.
It looks like they do the Indiana Jones map thing.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of globetrotting, which is pretty interesting. And I'm enjoying The Shadow. I'm liking it more and more than the original arc. Masks, which is the big crossover from Dynamite, which is Zorro, Green Hornet, and Kato, the Spider and the Shadow. Which, the interior artwork, not the cover art, is done by, guess who?
To me, it's Alex Ross.
It is Alex Ross. The interior art for issue one is all Alex Ross, and it's pretty good. It starts with the Green Hornet and Kato running afoul of someone who the Shadow's chasing, and then, check that out.
That is you can tell it's Alex Ross.
Oh, always wow. You can tell it's
absolutely.
Alex Ross.
Like, you can... the wrinkles on people's... just... Alex Ross is phenomenal.
As we geek out over Alex Ross.
No one does 40-year-old men better than Alex Ross. That's a weird thing to say. But. And the point of contention, a polarizing
title...
Hey,
I see a DC in the corner there.
Yeah, but
it's not a new 52, I know.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Johnny, this is a polarizing title between Johnny and I. He did not like the first issue.
I only read the first issue.
And I've enjoyed everything since then. It starts out with Adam has lost his memory, so he does not know he's He-Man in this. It seems like it's picking up where the cartoon left off, which is kind of neat. And then finally, the last one here... you read this?
I did.
Isn't it good?
It's good.
Yeah, it's the Masters of the Universe number one, The Origin of Skeletor, which is pretty
really?
Sweet.
And you know He-Man number 5 came out yesterday.
Did it come out yesterday?
Yeah,
okay, I'll have to check out He-Man number 5. So that is, most of those were my sticks. I'm stuck on Masters of the Universe. My pick of the month? I guess is Masters of the Universe. Everything's kind of
really?
Just kind of
everything's kind of there. If I have to
now,
pick,
Origin
I'm going to go with
Skeletor or Masters of the Universe. Part?
You know what? I'll just go with that. I'll throw that in there. I'm stuck on nothing right now.
You don't really have to have a pick. I mean, if you don't have a pick, you don't have a pick.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not stuck on anything. I don't have a pick. Everything's sort of right now. I'm sticking with it. It's only because. Finding Gossamer, I don't have the new issue.
Gotcha.
That was one I'm stuck. And the last Phantom still on hiatus, as it were. It's coming back, though. That was my pick of the month for the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it.
Out.
I'm good.
All right. I'm closing the segment out. With my stuck, I'm stuck on new X-Men.
All new X-Men.
Woo! Animal Man. Cable and the X-Force. Cable
so
and the X-Force
good.
Is
so good.
So good.
Can
oh my God, we had Hope.
Is.
We have Hope saving a girl and becoming the mutant messiah. We have Psylocke.
The Colossus thing.
Oh, the Colossus thing was brilliant.
The Colossus thing was brilliant. I'm sorry to step on you a little
bit
here.
Go for it.
But
go for it.
I didn't really touch on this, but anybody who had direct contact with the Phoenix is having issues with their mutant powers. Mm-hmm. We are finally seeing why Colossus has kept himself so hidden. It's because he no longer is able to control the metal form
the
of his body.
Yeah.
Well, no, Juggernaut's
gone. No, the Juggernaut's gone. You're right.
The
you're
actual
right.
metal of his body. Cable and Forge found a way to stop it and for him to control it again. And that's what's going on in this book with him.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Oh,
it's a great
so
book.
Good. I'm so excited
We've
for
got
it.
Hope, the mutant messiah. We've got... Domino pulling a psychological analysis of Cable. We've got Dr. Nemesis. It's Dr. Nemesis.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a great title.
And they
it is written
back to back.
By Dennis Hopeless with art by LaRocca. Let me check to see the exact name of the artist. The artist, Salvador LaRocca.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant title. I really can't say enough good things about it.
It's a good X-book.
But Animal Man was cool, too. And then we've got Fables. Fables is the series that I've been following the longest. It's the series that I'm going to continue following. It is by Bill Willingham.
How long has it been going on?
Oh, my God. I am at issue 124 right now.
So we're talking...
And
2000?
Since, yeah.
Yeah.
2000... It would be almost...
Here, I'll put this into perspective.
2002.
Yeah.
Fables had started when I was still reading comics my last time around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, it's been around.
It's been around quite some time. I'm reading Fables, and it's offshoot Ferrest, which, thank God, Jack of Tales showed up. Oh, come on. It's a story about the princesses. Of course, Jack is going to show up. Jack is a famous womanizer. He has been missing from the Fables title for years. He shows up in the Finn Ferris, and I'm very happy about that. We've got Justice League Dark, starring John Constantine. It's great. They just went back to a place to recover the books of magic. They introduced Timothy Hunter, who I've always been a big fan of. They reintroduced Timothy Hunter. Bears a striking resemblance to another freckled, bi-speckled teenager who gains magic. Discovers that he controls magic. I don't know if I talked about Timothy Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
Yeah, we know,
okay.
we
know about
Yeah, you
Timothy
had said
Hunter.
Neil Gaiman
yeah.
did gave them the, given him the go-ahead. To
yeah, yeah, he didn't have a problem with it. But, no, I do. I like Timothy Hunter. Suicide Squad. My God, this is a sexy book. I'm using that as an adjective. I'm not referring to the sex, although Harley Quinn is in it. But, no, it's a great book. It is dark. This is not your child's book. Read Suicide Squad. It is a dark book. It's right now, it's in the middle of The Death of the Family, which is running through all the bad titles. But my God, it's amazing. It has Harley Quinn coming out from under Joker's thumb. Joker was not digging that at all. And it's just a good book. And we've got Swamp Thing by Scott Snyder right now is doing Rot World. That's all I'm going to say about that.
He's leaving Swamp Thing. That's an interesting
reason we missed that. Yeah, he's leaving Swamp
Thing, which is
disappointing. But he is leaving it as a complete story. He is ending his run as Swamp Thing with an ending point, as the story will end at that point. And I'm happy about that. The series will not end at that point, but the story will, which is nice. It'll give us closure. And I'm stuck on Wolverine and the X-Men. Wolverine and the X-Men is awesome. It's really... it's Jason Aaron. And it's a great book. I'm enjoying it very much. Right now we're in the Frankenstein Circus, which sounds cheesy, and it's... No, it's cheesy.
You know,
It works.
It's not cheesy. It's...
Well, it ties into the new Hellfire Club, which has the... The child of Victor Frankenstein is one of the members of the new Hive.
It makes sense that...
Yeah.
Max makes a little more sense now. Mm-hmm. Why Max is so good with technology and science.
Yeah. Max is the member of the new Hellfire Club that is the child of Frankenstein. So, alright. And the stuff I'm kind of sticking with, I'm sticking with Batgirl, at least until Simone leaves. Because Simone is awesome and Batgirl is awesome and I don't have faith in... Batgirl after Simone leaves, and I'm sorry that sounds geeky, but it is. It's true. I'm sticking with iVampire. I just can't get over how well written this book is. It's not tied into any of the rest of the GCU anymore, but I just can't get over it. It's a great book.
It's not a bad thing, though, to read something that's not...
No, it's not as connected. It was, but they've really veered away, and I think it's going to get canceled, honestly. It's not selling well.
It happens.
But... It's still a good book. I would check it out.
That's what happened with Generation Hope.
Yeah. Justice League, I'm sticking with. Again, it's a good book. It's really cool. They're doing the... apparently, I saw a few hinted at pages from Justice League 15, which hopefully comes out next week. Justice League 14 is this week. And it's Superman and Wonder Woman. Yeah, it looks like they're going to start dating. Which, I mean, endless fan fictions and Kingdom Come have hinted at that. So, I mean, it's going to happen. I'm sticking with it because I have faith in Geoff Johns and Tony S. Daniel is pretty good. Plus, it ties into Throne of Atlantis, which is a series that I'm reading. A storyline that I'm reading. I'm sticking with Red Hood. Red Hood was, this month, tied into Death of the Family. It was incredible. It shows Jason Todd, Jason Todd is Red Hood, as you guys know. Jason Todd was killed by the Joker in Death in the Family. And Joker gets annoyed that Jason Todd is still alive, is alive again. He gets really annoyed with that. And in this issue of Red Hood and the Outlaws, it's incredible. Jason Todd stands up to Joker and refuses to play Joker's games, which Joker is not used to. He's used to people just, oh my God, it's amazing. He leaves Joker speechless.
Jason Todd is kind of like the ultimate wild card in the
Batman.
He
really, really is.
In the Batman titles.
He doesn't like Bruce at all.
Oh, of course not.
He doesn't like Bruce at all.
He blames him for his death.
Yeah, he does. No, this issue was amazing. It's great.
There's a great moment in the it was when he first showed up. Was it in Hush, where you know, he's blaming Bruce for his death, and then Batman basically says, "You know my thing. I will not kill." And he goes, I know you wouldn't kill, and I know you couldn't save me, but I just don't get why he is still alive.
Yeah.
You wouldn't avenge my death. And you're like, oh, yes. That's why he's
Jason
totally
Todd
justified.
Is so cool.
He's
you're right.
He's completely justified, and you can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sticking with Talon. Talon doesn't have a whole lot of oomph, but I'm going to stick with it because it's Talon, and it's cool, and it's Scott Snyder and James Tynion the IV. This spun out of Night of the Owls. A Talon is, well, you guys know what a Talon is. The book's good. It's espionage. It's sexy. It's a cool book.
It's not the new sexy.
Hmm?
It's not the new sexy.
No, it's not the new sexy. Oh, yeah. All right. I'm the new sexy, by the way. And I'm going to stick with Nightwing. Just because, I mean, it's about to tie into the death of the family, and so I want to...
That was one of the titles I had a hard time giving up, because I'd follow... I have every issue of Nightwing, even including his four-issue mini-arc in 1995, before his title debuted in 96, and I had every single issue up until the final issue, and then when it relaunched as one of the new 52, and that was one of the ones I really had a hard time parting with, because it was actually okay. It was pretty good. It was in the stuck-on pile for quite a while, for the 12 issues I've got.
Well, they have a new writer now, Tom DeFalco, and Tom DeFalco destroyed Spider-Man with the Clone Saga.
Yeah, can't wait to get to that.
No.
That's going to be dark times for Phil.
Yeah.
Very dark times.
God have mercy. But no, Tom DeFalco, I mean, he's okay.
It'll be like, what, 24 issues, something like that?
He's okay. Yeah. No. 24.
How many years was it?
No. It was... Clone Saga is endless. It's still going on.
It will be kind of interesting for you to know when that's coming, to see if they really did go back and try and tie everything together, or if they just went, hey, I have a stunt.
There were just going to be a ton of holes in it because I'm only reading Amazing.
Oh, that's true.
All right. Also, this came out. This is a non-52 release. It's JSA Liberty Files, The Whistling Skull. The art on this was good. The storyline was confusing. It's a limited series, 1 of 6. I'm going to give it a shot. It's just a weird book. I mean, it's okay. I just don't get it. All right, the art is nice, though. So, stuff from... Pardon?
Is that a wild violet?
Yeah, oh no, it's violet. Stuff I'm dropping. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. Yes, I am dropping it this month. I'm done. It's done.
Wasn't it a former pick?
No, it was a former drop.
Oh, it was a former drop?
Yes.
Is Rock World Over now?
Did like what I did with Kev or Green Arrow.
No, I'm dropping it.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Shut up. I'm dropping it.
No, you're not. I don't believe you. You're going to have the next issue.
Shut up.
And you're going to not bring it, and you're going to pretend that you dropped it, and we're going to mock you.
Shut up. All right. I'm also dropping Phantom Stranger. I'm on the fence on Aquaman. I mean, Throne of Atlantis is coming up. It's a good title, but I'm dropping it. I mean, whatever. I'm not sure if I'm dropping it. I'll probably drop it after Throne of Atlantis, honestly. Detective Comics I only bought because it was Death of the Family, so I can drop that. Catwoman was awful. Oh. I only bought it because it was Death of the Family.
To Catwoman?
What?
Have you been picking her up, though?
I only picked it up because of the Death of the Family tie-in.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't tie in at all.
Yeah.
It was basically stunned. Joker was saying, hey, I'm going to kill you because you're connected with Batman. And Catwoman said, no, I'm not. And Joker said, oh, okay. It was dumb. I mean, it had a girl in black leather, and that was nice. It had her in her panties for a couple blocks, and that was fun. But it was pointless. So I'm dropping it. And, well, I don't really have a choice. Doesn't really matter because her story and Death of the Family is over. So I'm done. Whatever.
Wow, that's an emphatic sayonara.
Oh, my God, yes. And, wow. Batman and Robin was dark. I was impressed by how dark this book was.
Whenever you're Batman and Robin, I think of that movie.
I know.
It's
so unfortunate. It's not fair.
But no, this book was dark. I'm probably going to buy the next issue because of the Death of the Family, but I'm not really hooked on it anyway. Which is ironic because my pick of the month is Batman.
Still going, man.
Oh, my God.
I do miss that. It was so good.
Oh, my God. It is, Scott Snyder is amazing. And I cannot wait to see what he does with Joker. I've never seen Joker written better than in Death of the Family. I am, once again, astonished with how dark DC is allowing these comics to get. Because there is some dark, dark stuff in these books, and it's incredible.
Do you think that might have been a reach to bring back some of their older fans that they might have lost with the relaunch?
I don't know, but that is an interesting hypothesis.
You both were saying, like, you know, you lose a little bit because they kind of yanked away your history. So do you think making it darker and kind of more adult is giving you a new story to run with? Maybe?
You might be right about that.
That's an interesting hypothesis.
I was just thinking, from an outside view of it, at least.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep that in mind when you're reading them, see if
that's
you feel
interesting.
That way.
But no, I am just loving Death of the Family, specifically Batman. Wow.
Very cool.
It's well written, it's just a sexy book. There's that word again, but it really, really is.
I do kind of think I know what you mean when you're saying that, though. It's hard to take your eyes off of it.
Yeah, it's captivating. All right. Since this is...
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, these conversations shouldn't be as long as we thought. That's for sure. Which could be best of.
No. They're not going to be at all. All
right. So where are we? Best movies?
Yes, best movies. That is where we're at for 2012.
I feel like I missed something.
You missed nothing.
No.
I missed nothing.
No? We no longer... We've dropped a couple segments. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
That's why. And things are in different order tonight.
All right. So we're now moving... Since this is... I remember what I missed. This might be the last broadcast ever. Because tomorrow, the world is ending.
Which means I better post this.
And the zombies will rise. My weapon of choice is... the chainsaw. Darren, what is your weapon of choice?
I'm gonna run out of gasoline.
My weapon of choice
is... I will not run out of gasoline.
Fat Boy Slim's weapon of choice with Christopher Walken.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. A little tap dancing action.
Ain't no zombie gonna mess with Christopher
Walken. I'm gonna go with a baseball bat. Come on, man.
Got some reach to it. That one, yeah.
It's got reach to it.
You're not gonna run out of fuel,
nope.
Johnny.
Hey, I will not run out of gas, alright? Mine is a hydraulically powered... chainsaw.
Which needs fuel.
But it's cool fuel that never runs out.
I'm just
going
to keep poking holes in your weapon.
No, that's fine. I'm staying with my chainsaw. If I can't use the chainsaw, let the zombie eat me.
Then you're just
going to
use the fists.
Just the fists. Fists are counterproductive.
How?
That's what I'm saying.
Just stay away from their mouth, man. Yeah,
just stay away from their mouths.
Just swerve and punch.
What are you going to do? You can't kill a zombie unless you hit their head. And where is their mouth?
Hit their head real hard with your fist.
In their what?
Their cranium? Like, away from the mouth area?
Oh, okay. But what if they move and their mouth is where your mouth is?
Let's just call it this. Baseball bat for the win.
I'm saying chainsaw. I'm sticking with chainsaw.
Soccer cleat.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
All right, so when the world ends tomorrow, we will have... These are our three favorite movies this year before the world ended.
Can we all just agree? Are we all going to pick the Avengers?
Oh, yeah. That's
pretty
my
much,
top.
Yeah.
That's my top.
Yeah.
My point is this. I think this is an awesome year for geeky movies, but not a good year for movies because I went through all the releases and all the movies I saw. And, yeah, I mean, I know you guys like Spider-Man. I wasn't big on it, but I get why people would be all over it. Like, Dark Knight Rises, I could not pick the Dark Knight Rises because it was the most flawed of the three entries for the Batman Dark Knight trilogy.
In the turn to my nerd card, I still have not seen it.
Oh.
All right. That's
I'm
true.
Going to over winter break.
A couple of years ago, I thought it was an amazing year with No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood. I mean, there was just some crazy good movies. But I was surprised. Like, even then, though, I was looking at what are my best, and I kind of went with, like, Skyfall, but that's because Skyfall was the Dark Knight. It literally was. It was plagiaristically the Dark Knight.
Really?
So, I mean...
I've yet to see Skyfall.
The Avengers for me.
Oh, all right, yeah, good. Avengers for me as well.
I think we all top.
It was
Avengers.
One of those movies that, like, I couldn't stop smiling during. Spider-Man was like that for me too, but that's just because I'm a giant Spider-Man nerd.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm wearing Spider-Man socks right now. No joke. there
and
on
a Captain
the
America
and
shirt.
A Captain America shirt.
The best quote I heard about the Avengers is from my buddy Tim, who basically said, as much as, and he's is the biggest Batman fan I know, and he said, he said that as much as I love Batman, the Avengers is what I want a superhero movie to be.
It was so good.
No, it's Avengers was virtually flawless.
So I think that just kind of took care of the movie thing. I think you summed it up really well, Darren, honestly, with just...
See, like, I liked other movies. I liked, like, Men in Black 3.
Didn't see it.
See, didn't see
I
it.
Thought that was good.
I wanted to, but I didn't. The wife and I don't see lots of movies.
I liked The Hobbit. I know.
Haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it yet.
I thought it was great. I liked Amazing Spider-Man.
I did, too. No, I mean, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought there were some really good movies coming out this week. I liked the Twilight movie that came out this week. No, that's a complete joke. I did not see that. I did not.
That one was actually not terrible.
Okay. Okay.
I did see that.
I refuse.
I will not see it. I have not
seen
it.
With my fiance, watching Doctor Who with me and going to the Avengers.
No, that's fair.
By the way, her favorite movie, her two cents was the Avengers, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the general. Even my wife said The Avengers is the best movie, and she doesn't like comics at all. Lucky she married me, really.
So where are we now?
That would be our best comic books.
Yes, we are moving into the best titles of
2003.
2003? You not 2003.
I was graduating
2012.
I finally hit puberty.
Such a young.
It's pretty good.
Now we are. The best titles of 2012.
It looks
I don't
like
know where
up first, buddy.
I am up first, and you spell my name wrong. That's okay.
It's autocorrect. I'm sorry. I don't catch it all the time.
It's okay. Just
Facebook's autocorrect.
Stop doing that. All right, best
so
titles.
From now on, you realize that, right?
I am very well aware that he is going to misspell Johnny every time now. My comic book picks, I got to go with Death of the Family. It's number one. That's... Really, I mean,
so you're
the segments.
You're all encompassing all of it as, like, one title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm encompassing all of it. There are elements that I dislike, Catwoman, but there are elements that I really adore, like the Batman, like the Red Hood, like Batgirl. These are just good stories, very well-written and very consistent. I am enjoying Death of the Family.
Okay.
And all-new X-Men. I am amazed with how...
You're counting that as one of your top for the year.
Top titles, yes. It's blowing my mind.
I'm just kind of shocked. There's only four issues out. I thought you'd go with something that's more
still
running.
It's still blowing my mind.
All right, you have one more left, Johnny.
And I got to go with Swamp Thing. I'm loving what
you've
got
been on
you've
that
been
train
on that since we started the
podcast. Yeah, started this, yeah.
Swamp Thing by Scott Snyder. It's great. It hasn't been better since Alan Moore.
Wow.
And I love that title.
That's awesome, man.
And so those are my three favorites. What do you guys think?
All right. So I'm going to go from the bottom up. Let's see. I would say...
Oh, see, I went from the top down.
Let's see.
Yeah.
All
right.
I'm going to go bottom up. So first and foremost, I'm going to go Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
There we go.
Miles Morales, man. I'm telling you, Bendis surprised me. And it gives me hope for Superior Spider-Man.
He did the same thing with all new X-Men.
Just, I love it. Like, there's so much good in it, and it's been phenomenal. 18 issues in, haven't been let down in a single issue. My number two is Amazing Spider-Man. I've struggled with this. It was almost Scarlet Spider, but there are more weak issues in Scarlet Spider than in Amazing Spider-Man. And I think the main push with Amazing Spider-Man for me is because of all of the buzz going on with it, what's going on right now with the Freaky Friday Doc Ock thing, which is common knowledge at this point.
No,
Doc
it's not.
Ock is,
what?
No, it's not.
You don't know about it?
No, what's going on with it?
Okay, quickly, basically during the Hobgoblin, the Goblin War that was going on between the Hobgoblins and Spidey, Doc Ock used his octopus robot things that he has running around. He made a gold one earlier in during the End of the World arc. This is why I like this year, because it's all very well connected. Spider-Man used his armor to control his miniature octopus robots. Because he learned how to control Doc Octopus's mind with that, basically, Doc Ock figured out who Peter Parker was. He figured out how to take over him.
Okay.
He summoned those robots out, took him over, And Doc Ock's been dying for a while now. So he learned how, he figured out how to switch minds with him. So Doc Ock's been Peter Parker's body since the end of the Hobgoblin War. And no. Peter's been suffering in Doc Ock's body.
Now, didn't you say a few episodes back, but when you tied it into Brand New Day? The Brand New Day where Peter Parker restarted everything to save Aunt May.
Okay.
And whenever Mephisto said if anybody, and, you know, concealed his identity again. And Mephisto
he kind of opened it up so that could happen again. And
so everybody would know who he was again.
I mean, Slott's been doing a great job tying everything together. Yeah. It's building up to 700, which as long as the world doesn't end tomorrow, I'm going to get a read in like less than a week. I'm super excited about it.
So we really hope the zombies don't rise tomorrow.
It's going to be awesome. So number two is Amazing Spider-Man, just because of everything surrounding it. Mm-hmm. And number one should be no surprise.
Hawkeye.
I can't wait. I gotta
and the reason behind that is not because it's necessarily the best, which it is, but because I picked up Hawkeye on a whim. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. It's on the shelf.
Well, he was kind of in the spotlight, you know? Yeah. And it's like,
I was like, it's $2.99. The art looks kind of cool. I'm going to give it a shot. And I haven't looked back. Every single issue. I mean, I've been gushing over this all year. It is such a good book. And both of you need to read it.
I do want to read it.
It sounds like a good book.
It is so good.
Now, let me just say this real quick. Isn't it sad that we're saying, it's $2.99 for comic books when they used to be 99 cents?
I used to get them when they were a quarter.
There we go.
I'm sorry. I'm reading books from when Spider-Man came out. It's really upsetting. Yeah.
It's like getting excited over gas because it's $3.10.
$2.95?
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
I got it for under $3 yesterday. It was awesome.
But so that's exactly what I'm talking about. A couple years ago, it was 99 cents.
But those are my top three. And for good reasons.
Yeah.
Darren, you, go.
I have a couple.
I've got five, and I've had a hard time narrowing it down.
You have to narrow it to three, because I'm going to.
Come on. But I just want to mention this G.I. Joe Origins, which I'm not a huge G.I. Joe fan.
I have heard great things about that book.
Fantastic. It was a free download. Issue one was a free download on Comixology. I'm like, I'll give it a try. I used to like G.I. Joe a little bit. It was great.
And issues that I couldn't put it...
Batman, great. The Flash, as you know, I was big. Those are the two I really had a hard time dumping, but I did it for the great experiment. Dark Crystal Origin Tales. It was only a one-shot graphic novel. There's going to be more coming out.
My God, that was a beautiful book, though.
Oh, wasn't it, though?
Oh, my God,
it was so good. So if I'm going to go my top three, I'm going to go... I'll just say this. It's going to be The Flash, Batman, and even though they've been on hiatus, The Last Phantom.
All right.
It took a character that I enjoyed, had a passing interest in, you know, he's just sort of like that guy who's on the periphery for a long time. You're like, that's kind of cool. Like, a nice little backstory with his origins and how they passed that mantle down from father to son and just gave it new life. And I loved it. It was just so good. Just so good. So even though I haven't read an issue in about 5 months, it is my number one.
Has
the
it really
Last
been
Phantom.
5 months?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
We've been doing this for almost a year.
We have.
Wow.
That's the thing. Like Saga just started coming out. Saga went on hiatus and just started getting released again by BKV, Brian K. Vaughan. And I haven't picked up an issue yet, but I do intend to because it's looking very good.
I do want to say there is one thing on my radar.
Go.
There's absolutely one thing on my radar. Thor, God of Thunder. It's not in my actual pull list. It's something I'm reading on the side. But oh my goodness. I've only read the first two. Issue three is waiting at home for me to read tonight. I wanted to read my main stuff for my blog first. But Thor is awesome. Not top pick of the year because it's too new, but awesome.
Fantastic.
And I'm not a Thor fan, so that's saying something.
I have never been a big Thor fan, and I did not like the movie.
Read God of Thunder.
We'll see. I did enjoy him in the Avengers. That's where he belongs. You need other people around him to make him interesting.
He's awesome in this. I'm telling you. Young Thor, current Thor, future Thor.
I'm really looking forward to Dark World.
I am too.
The
Doctor is the main
Thor movie. Yeah, Eccleston.
Eccleston
is the Dark Elf.
Thor is dumb. He's not going to beat the Doctor.
Thor...
He's not going to beat the Doctor.
No, he's not going to.
He'd step out of the TARDIS in space and die.
Yeah, I agree.
He's what? He's an Asgardian. He doesn't need oxygen.
Not when he's. Never mind. Go on.
Okay.
Not when he's the Doctor.
All right. All right, so that brings us to our final segment, which is plugs. Darren, thank you very much for that plug early on.
About your book. Oh, yeah, your book. Amazon.com, The Crystal Walrus Cafe. Good book so far. I'm about halfway through it. 600 and some locations, whatever. I still haven't figured out what that is in the Kindle reader locations. It's not pages. I'm assuming your short story is not 600 pages.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Okay. It's a short story. It's only $2.99 on Amazon.com. Do not buy the book. Do not buy the book. Buy the Kindle download because it's much better than the book.
Man just told us not to buy his own book.
I don't want anybody to read that book. My editor was horrible.
Oh, I.
He's a better editor now, so.
I do have a better editor now.
All right. No, yeah. So. First of all, kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
I read my other blog. That's as far as I've made it.
What's that?
Thank you.
Some time, but I've only read the first chapter. Literally, if I open up my Kindle on my phone, it should be the thing I'm reading. Yeah, Walrus Inc. is right there.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone should try it. Local artist, local author, unless, of course, you're listening to this podcast out of state, in which case, not so much. Anyway.
Out of the country.
Ooh.
I could be an international fame now.
If we go international right now.
That would be fantastic.
On the Life in Northeast Ohio podcast, on this very same website that you're listening to, the Panel Scanners, you can listen to my other podcast, Life in Northeast Ohio podcast, in which I have Steve Sedlecki, who is the curator of the Christmas Story House and Museum in Lakewood, Ohio. Most people know that the Christmas Story House is from The Christmas Story. The exteriors for The Christmas Story were shot in Cleveland. And the house was restored by Brian Jones. I got to sit down and talk with the curator, Steve Sedlecki, back in June, because I knew that I wanted them to be my Christmas episode. So I went and saw them back in June, and knowing that there would be no way to get them on now. And so that is live on the Life in Northeast Ohio podcast as we speak.
Nice.
For me, you can find my blog here. I'm assuming if you already know me, you might have found me on my blog to begin with. But otherwise, you can catch it at fillthec.blogspot.com and follow me at fillthec at Twitter, because that's where you're going to get my Spider-Man stuff. I think we're all on Twitter. We're all connected somehow. You can also catch my Twitter feed on this website, as well as Darren's and Johnny's. But that's
apparently
the only thing that I have.
Twitter, but I do put my position day removes.
I tweet daily. I've gotten a lot better about it. Keeping up with my Spider-Man, anything Borderlands, video game stuff. I'm kind of the encompassing nerd. And HeroClix. If you play HeroClix, don't forget that Gotham City came out this week. The second Batman set for the No Man's Land series. So pick that up. And Spider-Man's coming out in February. Awesome.
And we can. Do you have anything, Johnny?
To plug?
Yeah.
Just my book. I don't have any art shows coming up. So.
Plug our next episode, which will be what we're looking forward to in 2013. I will tell you, I've given this a lot of thought in terms of the geeky movies and stuff like that. I think, although I'm a giant super fan, I don't think that's going to be my number one. I'm looking forward to revealing it. And can we do one more thing?
What's up? Can we
give it up to my daughter, who has been sitting on my lap for probably 90% of this podcast, and you have not known this, have you?
She's good and quiet.
She has been a very good girl.
Very cool.
Have you been a very good girl?
She won't even say anything.
She's like, yep, I've done it all for you, Dad, and now I'm done.
You like owe her candy and cake and stuff.
What is she doing?
This is what she is eating.
So,
all right, well, that about closes it up for us at Panel Scanners. Keep reading those funny books.
Keep reading our blogs.
Keep listening to the podcast.
And we are out of here.